He will say also to those on his left. I like the way Jesus puts it. He says there's going to be some people on the right hand of God that's going to heaven and some people on the left. So those on the left, he's going to say, depart from me. Now, why is Jesus going to tell you to get out of his face? He tells you in the next line, Mark, you're a cursed one. I can curse you. People trying to bind Pastor John. Bind yourself. I curse you into everlasting fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, if Jesus prepared this place for the devil and his angels, and now he's binding some other people and cursing them to go there, who you think these folks are? They're the ones that reject the message that I'm giving. I don't let nobody mess with me. That's why I say you can go to hell, but I'm not going with you. Oh, well, you shouldn't talk about the bishop. You got to be afraid because you don't know what's going to come on you. I said, oh, you going to sick some demons on me? I said, sick them suckers on me. Sick them on me. I said, because when I get through praying, they're going to double back and whoop your behind. And that's what happened. And I'm going to tell you, all this week, church, not one demon has come to my house. All this week, not one. Because I said, you send them devilish demons over here. So that pimp ain't got no power over me. I haven't had a homosexual man call me. I don't know who it was. Hello, Pastor John. I said, who are you? You know me. I don't know you, fool. If you saw my picture, you knew who I was. So what does that mean? I'm on television. I said, what does that mean? I'm in the movies. What does that mean? You go to this pimp's church? So you talk bad. I am bad. I belong to the master. What is it? Well, what do you want? All the actors and all of them are down there cursing you in the name of Jesus at lunchtime. In the movie studios, they're all down there cursing my name. Bind him, Holy Ghost. Stop him from touching the anointed bishop. Stop. I said, oh, and was you down there binding me with them, the heathens? And then he went into some other stuff I'm just too ashamed to tell you. And I said, man, you need to go to sleep. You need to just go to sleep. I said, man, the bishop got all his demon people working, all of them. I said, man, you people have no power over me. You see, man, when you fill with God's spirit, the demon people will have to flee. And I've seen this in the Bible. Y'all need to be under attack sometimes. I hope God puts you all under demon attack, and I want to see how you're going to act when the demons attack you. Probably all start running. Pastor John, what should I say? Condemn them to the hellfire that was prepared for them. All right, look at this, look at this, look at this. Matthew 13, 42. Go there with me. Go there. Jesus ain't playing. Matthew 13, 42. I got an arsenal full of scripture. I ain't scared of none of them. 13:42 says, and Jesus says, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. Look at all this talk about hell in your Bible. And in that place there shall be weeping. Ooh, I love it. And gnashing of teeth. That means the flame glory is going to be so hot and so agonizing that you, if you would grit down on your teeth, all your teeth would break off and a new set would grow and you'd be in so much pain. Have you ever been in so much pain? You bite to your gums. Jesus is saying that's the kind of pain I'm going to put on you when I send you to a burning hell. That is why pastors don't preach like this from the Bible, because if he did, he'd empty his old church, because four-fifths of them sitting in there full of hell, thinking about what they're going to do when they leave the building. Oh, man, I'm going to go on out there and pop that. Are you? I'm going to go to hell. I'm not going with you. Laugh at them. Look at Revelation 14:10. I love my Bible. I love the Word of God. That's why they want to stop the preacher from preaching it. That's why they, you know, got the homosexual and everything, because you can't preach against it. And then when you preach on hell, they're going to try to make you a terrorist. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I'd like to really start with verse 9, because that keeps you within the context of verse 10. It says, and another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, look at this, and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. You know what this is saying? God got a brew for you. He got a brew. John, scares me. It makes me want to get out of my house running, screaming, saying, I repent. With his angels, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. In other words, Jesus is going to burn your behind for an eternity while he's looking at you and you screaming and running. And remember what he said. We're going to be standing right behind him saying, blessed is the King. So I'm going to see him burning in hell for an eternity, praising God. Burn! I hope I don't see none of you there. I hope I don't see none of you there. Go to hell. I'm not going with you. And the only way to get out of hell is to repent. Let's move on down to point number four. This ain't hard to get through this outline. Point number four is seen in verse 24. The place is one that will incite your mind to call out, but only when it's too late. See, when you go here, you will be tempted to say, help, but it's too late. You should say, help now. See, that's what Christianity is all about. Now look at verse 24. And when he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in this water to cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. See, Jesus must have been a lot like me. Jesus said, I'm going to give you something to think about. You see, you playing me off here now. You call yourself a Christian. You royally playing me. And you think that you're going to be able to play me. And you know what? This is the way it works in Christianity. Since you're sitting in the room, since you're watching on DVD, now you're accountable. Because Jesus said, you're accountable because I told you. You have no excuse. You know what this is all about. Now I expect you to live for me. Look at this right here. Woe is the time when I cry out for mercy. Then it says, oh, when it's far too late for that. Am I going to be asking for mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and another chance? He said, it ain't going to be no other chance. I ain't giving you that. Right now is the day of repentance. My goodness. And then it said, oh, and send Lazarus. Oh, so you do recognize that there are going to be some people that are going to get a righteous reward. I thought that you didn't recognize that when you was living in your sin, in your heyday. I thought when you had all your money and everything, it was about you and your money and your business and your fine woman, your fine man, your children, everything. Oh, now you say, send Pastor John. Too late. That's too late. He ain't coming to you. He ain't got nothing to say to you. I recall in one of the part of scripture that one of these men said, send me back to my brothers that they may not come to this wicked place. And Jesus said to them, wait a minute, if I send the prophets and they won't listen to them, what makes you think they're going to listen to someone that would come back from the dead? You know what Jesus was saying? I will rise from the dead and they won't even hear me. What makes you think they're going to listen to their own flesh and blood? That's what human nature is. Completely depraved and corrupt. Completely depraved. Oh, now all your psychological blabber and all that stuff, you can try to use that. See, because T.D. Jakes and Creflo didn't taught you that. See, well, all you got to do is, you know what the preachers tell you now? God will always forgive you. You will find a place for forgiveness. We can continue to fall, but we can get up. I'm going to tell you, you keep falling in the same way you've fallen. You can get your old dirty behind up and everything else. Jesus long ago done turned his back on you. And you're going to find out that he did when you die. Moving on down to verse 25, point number five, the voice of God echoing throughout one's visit in hell in verse 25. But Abraham said, see, this is God speaking. Child, isn't that a beautiful term? See, that's a beautiful term because you see, the rich man was a part of the person that could be saved. Just like many people in church, God would say to them right now, child, you got a chance. This is so beautiful. We notice that God addresses the rich man as child or son. So you see, we learn something in this verse as we listen to God's admonition. And it's beautiful, beautiful. He says, child, remember that during your life. See, this shows that there's going to be some communication in hell after we die. Don't think that you're just not going to have no memory of everything. Oh, he's going to come back. See, everything to Pastor John, he's going to bring it back and he's going to say, John, remember when you was alive? Man, and when I think about, look, I got to talk about me because my brother died when he was 18, 17, 18. I remember before he went overseas, I brought him to church with my wife and I cried and I held Brad and I said, Brad, stop this, man. Stop this. Come to church. He cussed me out in my apartment. I don't want to go to church with you. Leave me alone. I don't want to just, and died. When he went in the army over there, the Germans killed him. In his teens, in hell. And God ain't got no special reservation because of your age. When somebody gives you an opportunity to repent and you don't do it, and those of you out there following them, you know, the bishops, the pimps, and all that, God is just going to say this to you when you go to hell, following him, child. Remember when Pastor John was trying to tell you and you was trying to bind him on YouTube, bind him and curse him and stop him? I told him to preach that, and so that would come up on YouTube to save you. You still, now, child, that's the way God does this. Remember that during your life you receive your good things and likewise Lazarus the bad things. In other words, there's going to always be some people that have and have not. People come by my house and laugh at it. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got no church. You poor, all shabby and raggedy. You know what God is going to say? Child. That's what he's going to say to each of us. Now he's being comforted and you in agony. And you know why God is saying that? Because he's going to tell you right up front. That's the game I played, but it's the game that you didn't want me to play. Now, what do we see right here? We see our Lord giving an absolute reference that there is a fixed and determined place prepared for the end in establishing of the outgrowth of human life. Christ is saying, go to hell. But if I were you, I'd check myself before I go there. That's how serious this book is. This is no playbook. As we brought down to the last verse, point number 6, a fixed enclosure which cannot be breached. And I want you to pay attention to this because, see, I don't believe in no purgatory. Ain't no priest getting you out of this. Ain't no Catholic priest getting you out. Your mama's prayers can't get you out. Your grandmammy, nobody. Pastor John can't get you. Listen, as long as you got breath in you and I visit you in the hospital, you got a moment. I would, amen, I'll go and visit you. Whenever the pastor go in the hospital and you dying, and I'm going to say, shut up. One thing, affirm him as Lord with your last breath. And if you won't, I will say, go to hell. I'm not going. I'm out. And when you die on that thing, you're going to remember this sermon. That's how you can know whoever in your family is going to heaven or hell. Ask them on their deathbed if you're there with them. I asked my wife. I said, are you ready to go with Jesus? I said, good, baby. Because, see, that's a good thing. Repent of all your sins now because your time is up and I want to be right behind you. Look at this verse. Look at this verse. Verse 26. And besides this, Jesus says, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able. And that none may cross over from there where you are in hell to us. Jesus is saying, it ain't going to be no getting you out of that. And you coming up here to visit your mama and all that. You know, we're going to all be in heaven by. No, that's a Negro spiritual. That's not biblical reality. Now, what do I get out of verse 26? It says, there is no escape from hell. That's what I get out of it. You ain't escaping. You in it. You in it for an eternity. There's a teaching in my blessed text. Secondly, that there is never any relief while you in hell. Because the man was asking for relief from the torments, and he said, there ain't no relief, you should burn, suffer. I believe that. Thirdly, that there is no company of friends enjoying your solo painful experience in hell. I know you think you're all going to be in an orgy party or having parties together. No, you're going to be in a compartment all alone with every thought, every memory of every deed that you committed, your sin, by yourself screaming, and Jesus and the angels are going to be looking down in that pit saying, look at that. Who was he? He was a what? He was a what? And you're going to be in the suit that you like the most. doing your thing. Look at him now. I'm telling you, you can go to hell, but I'm not going. Also, there are no visiting hours in hell. Ain't nobody gonna visit you, and you will not be visiting anybody. This is an open and shut case. That's why Christianity is the only faith in the world that got the truth. And then lastly, there is no time limit on your visiting that place. It is your permanent residence after you take your last. This is heavy. And that's why when I asked that trampish woman to affirm Jesus and then say, now tell me that your lying, pimping bishop, Noel Jones, is cursed to hell because of his rejection of the truth, and she would not do it. I said, you've just identified to me that you are right with him. You have been beguiled. Go to hell. But I'm not going with you. That's why Dean Gocher called me this morning and said, we had a whole church praying for you in the state where he was. He said, all of us praying for you by name because we know Satan wants to kill you, John. He wants to kill me, John, because he doesn't want this message to get out to the true church. They have pimped most of us, and we out there thinking that it's all about prosperity and money. With a sack of rice, you ought to be happy that God lets you live. Man, fooling around here talking about